Johnny Foodmasters or cruise on the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked piss up.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is the big picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write that down. Punch it into your device. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And you may want to weigh in later tonight as we talk about the State of the Union Address. Or as, let me see if I get this right. As it was described by Human Rights Committee Chairman Chad Griffin, yet another window into the dangerous psyche of a man hell-bent on pursuing an agenda rooted in hate and fear.
Well said, Paul Wyndham.
That's what I got out of last night's State of the Union Address. Maybe your results differ. Maybe my results differ.
Oh, we're going to talk about it later. I'm so excited to talk about this. I cannot even tell you. By the way, hey, listeners.
Yet another window into the dangerous psyche of a man hell-bent on pursuing an agenda rooted in hate and fear. Hate and fear, Shay. It's all about the hate and fear.
You got to love that hate and fear.
It's all about the freaking cold out here is what it is.
Seriously, remember when it was 50 degrees like a week ago?
Yeah, that was nice.
I was
nice.
Wearing a sweatshirt outside to walk my dog.
That was nice. I missed that.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
I don't know. I woke up the next day and was like, ooh, it's not sweatshirt weather anymore.
Yeah. I think it's going to be back for the weekend. I don't know. It's going to get rain. It's going to rain and it's going to get warm and it's going to get cold and it's going to snow and then it's the whole mixed bag for the rest of the week.
I just hope that it's nice weather in Minnesota on Sunday. That's what I'm banking on.
It's always nice weather in the dome.
Yeah, this is true.
That's the great thing about the dome is it's always nice in the dome.
I keep forgetting about that dome.
Yeah. They were in the dome doing Inside the NFL last night, and they all looked very comfortable. You know, they were all just wearing suits and having a good time.
Sipping cocoa.
Messing around. Nope, no cocoa. Just hanging out on the field, wearing their suits.
They should really give them cocoa.
Having a good time.
Even if it's not cold.
Yeah. Well,
nice.
I guess it's cold outside. Like, it's brutally cold because it's Minnesota.
I was going to say, there are the 10 most, what's that fact? The 10 coldest counties in the United States are all contained in Minnesota.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
You get that Canadian prairie cold hanging around up there.
Oh, yeah.
With the occasional Arctic blast. not a part of the country.
All those big old lakes to their east don't help.
That's
either.
Why they're the nicest people in America, by the way. Is because they spend most of the year suffering. And when you suffer constantly like that, you stop. The thing about it is, we'll sit around here and, like, it gets cold for a couple of weeks. And we're like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world.
Everything's the worst.
And the summer comes around. It's 90 and humid. We're like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. But for the most part, we have a fairly reasonable environment.
We have like 3 months collectively, both hot and cold, of torture. And then the other 9 are kind of gravy.
Which is why we were able to devote so much of our energy toward hating everybody else on the road, toward hating everybody else who's walking, toward hating everybody else who's anywhere in the vicinity of us.
You are correct, though. I mean, I did a show in Minneapolis in, like, the end of April one year. And I gotta say, I thought Chicago was the friendliest city in the country. These people were just so warm and friendly. I don't mean to use the term warm, ironically. But so warm and friendly. And everyone was, hey, how are you doing today? Look, the sun's out.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not wearing 9 layers of clothing.
Exactly. They're like, hey, it's 20 degrees.
Everything's the best.
It's 20 degrees. That's a winner in our book. Yeah, around here we're like, it's 5 degrees below perfect and we're angry. That's why they call us massholes, ladies and gentlemen, and it ain't that far from the truth.
It's a badge we wear proudly.
What are the local massholes up to?
Well, speaking of massholes, in local news, a Massachusetts man was found guilty of receiving firearms with intent to commit murder yesterday in a New Hampshire federal court. After a six-day trial, Edward McLarnon, God, say that three times fast, of Malden was found guilty on receiving firearms with intent to commit murder, receiving an unregistered silencer, receiving explosive materials, and receiving an explosive with the intent to harm persons or property. According to prosecutors, in October of 2015, McLarnon made contact with a person he believed to be an arms dealer who was actually an undercover FBI agent for the purpose of buying illegal weapons. Oh, it gets better. McLarnon alleged...
Wait. I get to stop you at this point. Folks, if you're in Malden... and a guy says he's an arms dealer, he's not an arms dealer. There are no arms dealers hanging around in Malden.
Well, here's the thing.
Please continue.
McLarnon allegedly negotiated with the undercover agent at a store in Chichester, New Hampshire, and paid a total of $700 in cash to obtain the weapons. The fact that he wasn't tipped off by that it was only $700 for all of that really shows me how inept this dude is.
Who's paying full price for guns anymore? I mean, come on, it's America. You don't pay full price for your guns. Not when you're dealing with an arms dealer.
On October 6, 2015, McLarnon got possession of a 22 caliber pistol with a silencer, an AK-47 style semi-automatic rifle, ammunition, and two hand grenades containing high explosives at a rest stop in Seabrook. He was taken into custody shortly after taking possession of the items. And prosecutors allege, and apparently have proven, that McLarnon intended to use the weapons to, get this, kill his ex-wife's husband, as well as a Boston federal judge and former Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley. McLarnon faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison for each count of conviction. He will be sentenced on May 10th.
Do we know what his beef with Coakley is?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like when someone is obviously that stupid / insane, they don't really... I mean, I imagine the federal judge, he probably has a record and had some beef with him based on that. Coakley, like someone like that, they're like, I don't like the way she smiles. Like, you know what I mean? There's probably absolutely no explanation as to what his problem with Martha Coakley is.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here and take a guess that this gentleman has a criminal past.
Yes, I would not put that past a 69-year-old who is buying weapons from an arms dealer.
Hand grenades. He's buying hand grenades. Who is using hand grenades?
Yeah, I don't... That's the thing is, I don't get how... How do you legitimize... Oh, this is for recreational use.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go into the woods and blow something up just for fun. Like, how do you legitimize needing very powerful hand grenades?
I think it's pretty well understood that the hand grenade is illegal to possess. I think most people get that the hand grenade's illegal to possess, kids. You can't have one.
Yeah.
You get in trouble for the hand grenades.
Yes. Unless the government hands it to you and is like, hey, go throw it into that Al-Qaeda den. Like, that's the only time
if you're in combat
that an American
somewhere
is allowed to hold a hand grenade.
Yeah, if you're in combat
hand grenade.
So, other good news on the gun front. We became the first state in the union this week to ban bump stocks ban trigger cranks.
We are so good at being the first to set forth legislation.
Those are wins in my book.
Go Massachusetts, go Massachusetts, go.
So if you're in Malden and an arms dealer claims that he has bump stocks, don't deal with that guy.
And remember, this is my favorite part, is he could have said the universal thing you're supposed to do when you're dealing with someone you don't know doing something illegal. Are you a cop?
Yeah, but the cops just lie when you ask him that question now.
Legally, they can't, though.
Well, if you're not a cop, if you're a federal agent, you can say, I'm not a cop, and that's not a lie.
But what if you say, are you a federal agent?
Well, then you're in trouble. I think you can lie anyway.
Yeah.
Is anybody...
those corrupt FBI agents.
Is anybody going to take the word of the guy who bought the grenades to blow up the former attorney general over the word of the law enforcement officer with regard to whether or not that question was asked?
It's a very fair point.
Yeah.
Well, in national news, speaking of the FBI, the FBI said in an unusual statement today that a memo by House Republicans about the Trump-Russia investigation is both inaccurate and misleading, just hours after President Trump assured a lawmaker that he planned to allow the document to become public. According to two sources familiar with the matter, FBI Director Christopher Wray and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein went to the White House on Monday and appealed to President Trump's Chief of Staff, John Kelly, not to make the memo public. The FBI statement appeared to be a part of a last-ditch lobbying campaign designed to get the White House to reconsider releasing the memo. House Republicans voted to release the classified memo Monday night under a House rule that lawmakers say has not been used yet in modern times. The president has 5 days to object.
I mentioned this off the top of the show last week that this story has been out there for a while, that there is this quote-unquote bombshell. As soon as anybody describes something as a bombshell, my hackles immediately go up. Bombshell! Okay, please.
Let's simmer.
Let's talk like adults. There hasn't been a bombshell anything in decades, okay? That's old-timey speak. That's like 23 Skidoo. Should have been retired with the 1940s. But the FBI is now making all kinds of noises about, well, this is selective information and the facts aren't all here. And on the one hand, I can look at the FBI saying that and saying, yep, they probably got a point because this was written by a bunch of Republican senators. On the other hand, if there is something in there that the FBI doesn't want made public, that's a nice way to provide cover for it. And the FBI wasn't really presented this memo with the idea of you were going to decide whether or not we're going to release it. They were presented with the memo as a courtesy because they're the FBI. Now, the interesting development in all of this is that the assistant FBI director stepped down last week, right around the time that all of this memo talk was coming up, and after the memo had been seen by some people in the Justice Department. A lot of people in Washington are saying those two things are closely related. So, again, as I said last week, until we actually see the document, you can't talk about it. We can only speculate about what's in it. And I'm not inclined to give it any legitimacy until I've had a chance to read its contents. But there's a lot of smoke swirling around this thing.
Well, and that's the thing is that, I mean, saying that something is wildly inaccurate can mean a number of things. It can mean that the entire thing is fabricated. It can mean, and they didn't even say what, they just said it was in, what was the exact thing that they said? Inaccurate and misleading. That can mean a number of things. It could mean that the entire thing is fabricated.
Yeah.
It could mean that there are a couple of factual errors. It could mean that they spelled a couple people's names wrong. Like it could mean, and like you said, until it's actually free to be read, the mind boggles and speculates like crazy, trying to think of how serious or not serious it could be.
The problem that you have with the FBI coming out and saying, no, it's inaccurate and this and that, and we don't want it released because it's inaccurate, is because you begin that statement by saying, we don't want it released. Oh, okay. Now, if the FBI doesn't want it out there.
Why don't you want it released?
Now I'm more interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing being, too, that it's like your average American, not to speak poorly of my people, you know, I love you all, but the average American doesn't really, like, wouldn't have cared if this attention wasn't drawn to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be like, as long as I'm getting my tax refund and I don't, like, prices of the tea don't skyrocket, like, my life's not going to be changed.
But the Republicans have been on the media blitz for this thing for 2 weeks now, talking about, we've got this bombshell, there's that word again, we've got this bombshell memo that the American people need to see. And it's like, well, just release it, and we'll decide if it's a bombshell.
And if we need to see it.
I have been burned. I have sat in this chair for more than a decade now. I have been burned so many times by claims of bombshell memos and explosive evidence and things like that I just don't listen to any of that hype anymore. But a lot of people still do. And there's the interesting thing about this is that these are Republicans going after the FBI. Normally, those two groups are very happy
in
with
cahoots.
One another. Yeah, they're very happy with each other. They're because the Republicans are the law and order people. And they're saying, no, something is rotten over at the FBI. And now the FBI is saying we don't want it released. Okay, it's getting interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it's like anything else. It's like if someone's enemy starts saying bad things about them, you're like, well, consider the source.
Yeah.
But if someone who is usually an ally to somebody is like, these dudes are doing something weird.
Yep.
Then you're like, ooh, if you're saying it, Dun, dun, dun.
I think all of this comes back to those two FBI agents and their text messaging and their flirting and their extramarital affairs. And
let's get everyone to focus on Russia.
Perhaps a complete lack of oversight on what they were doing, you know, but the Democrats are raising the point that this is a distraction away from the Russia investigation. Well, it is and it isn't, you know, because if it turns out that a group of people in the FBI sat down the day after the election and said, we need to go dig up stuff on Russia, that does not look good for the Russia investigation at all. Because now you've got evidence of a conspiracy against the president. And believe me, nothing would make me happier than to see this Russia story go away so we can move on with our lives. But I want it to go away legitimately. Not because all of a sudden one party can trump up these allegations of conspiracy and brush it under the rug.
I was just going to say, and it would be very frustrating to have it just be brushed under the rug.
Yeah. In world news, that is not what they're back on the Human Rights Campaign page. In world news, good news for elephants. Following China's lead, Hong Kong voted today to ban the sale of ivory.
Yay!
Hong Kong is the world's largest ivory market, primarily supplying tourists who come from mainland China. Although Hong Kong claimed to adhere to international rules banning the sale of ivory harvested after 1990, the country has long been suspected of hosting black market trade in new ivory. Last year, two ivory traders were arrested for selling illegal ivory chopsticks, and one of them had been part of a Hong Kong government panel to protect endangered species.
I'm impressed.
An estimated 30,000 elephants are killed each year for their ivory, most of which winds up in Asia. You still have to wonder if this is going to make any sort of a meaningful dent in the ivory trade, because the real problem that you have with ivory, with rhino horn, with pangolin scales, is this insatiable demand from a newly wealthy China. And all these people who are like, I will have the greatest orgasms ever if I can just, I will be the most virile person on the planet if I can just get my hands on those pangolin scales. And really what you need is science. You need science to come out and be like, that's dumb and that doesn't work. Please stop wasting your money and killing these animals.
That's the thing is, I mean, it's such, even ever since I was a little kid and I heard about the, you know, the existence of elephant poaching. I can't believe that's still like a term that exists. But when I found out, I was like, so they're killing this like giant, like how I learned what unit of measurement a ton was by them being like, it's about what an elephant weighs. That's how big an elephant is. And you're killing an elephant for one tiny little aspect of its body.
Yeah, 14 pounds worth of ivory.
Yeah. It's, I mean, and I get ivory's pretty, whatever. But marble looks just the same.
There's one. This story came out, might have been as much as 2 years ago. I want to say it was last year, where there was one wildlife preserve in Africa where they'd actually gone out and sawn all the horns off the rhinos as a way of deterring the predators.
I mean, like, why do you even want to know?
Because if the rhino has no horn, the poachers aren't going to kill it.
God.
And it's ridiculous you have to do that to an animal.
It's ridiculous that that's necessary to deter a human being who, we have plenty of things you don't, like, plenty of precious things you don't have to kill an animal for. Go into a mine and find some gold or what, like, you know what I mean? Like, it.
Here's a great truth about illegal activity and black market activity. The way that you stop it is to erase the demand. And when you cannot erase the demand, you cannot ever stop the illegal activity. Now, Hong Kong will ban ivory sales. That will make it a little bit harder to sell illegal ivory. Somebody will find some way of getting illegal ivory into China,
as they always do,
because there's a lot of money to be made off of this. And until you can get rid of that demand, it's the same thing as child pornography. All good people agree that there should be no child pornography in the world. However, there are a lot of people who really want child pornography. Well, and their methods of obtaining it become more and more and more obscure as law enforcement shuts various doors.
Well, and that's the thing is, that's what I was talking to my mom about this when we were discussing, what's that movie with Pierce Brosnan and the lady that looks like my Aunt Teresa? The Thomas Crown Affair.
Die Another Day? Oh.
the Thomas Crown Affair, when they steal, I forget if it's the Mona Lisa, they steal some like very famous painting. And I was saying to my mom, because it had never occurred to me before, but then it suddenly did, I said, what possibly could you get out of stealing a famous painting, because obviously immediately law enforcement's going to be looking around for it. It's not like anybody would be able to resell it or display it publicly or anything like that. And she said it's the same thing with poachers, the same thing with people who deal really dangerous drugs. For every product that you're like, how could you possibly make money off this? There is someone who wants to buy it. And that's how it's made possible for this to still occur. And it's, you know, there is someone out there that if someone stole the Mona Lisa and was looking to sell it, would buy it just for their own sick pleasure of, hey, I own the Mona Lisa.
Art theft is usually done on a commission basis. Like art theft is robbery for hire. Somebody wants that painting and is paying somebody to go out and get it. The exception to that rule seems to be the Gardner Museum heist, where those guys just stole those things. Maybe thinking there was a buyer, maybe the buyer disappeared. We still don't know what happened to the paintings. But clearly they did not have a way of getting rid of the paintings, because there are too many stories floating around about where the paintings may be.
Yeah, and that's why I always think of I keep referencing movies, but they have good examples of this. I always think of Ocean's 11 when Danny Ocean is trying to get Brad Pitt's character, I forget his name, Rusty, I think, to be in on the new scam that they're doing. And when he explains why he went to jail, they say, well, what did you do? He said, I stole things. He said, what did you steal? And Brad Pitt says, ink and matrimonial head masks. Is there money in them? Oh, boatloads if you can move them, but you can't.
Yeah.
Like it's the same sort of thing where it's like, yeah, of course they're worth a ton of money, but it doesn't matter. That's just like people that invest in gold right now. Yeah, that's a great idea. But if the apocalypse comes, guess who's going to care about gold? Nobody.
Yeah.
Water and bullets will be the new gold.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why you invest in bullets, kids.
Yeah.
Always a safe investment.
And water. You know, water's good.
Water can go bad. Bullets are forever.
That's true.
In sports news,
they can get you water.
That's true. Yes, the bullets can get you water. The bullets can get you anything you need after the apocalypse comes. In sports news, the Patriots will face the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Their
second consecutive appearance and their third in the past 4 years. If you're like most New England fans, it's getting a lot harder to actually get excited about this. Honestly, because if you want to know what excitement about your football team looks like, go watch the end of that Minnesota Vikings-New Orleans Saints game a couple of weeks ago and see the way that Minnesotans absolutely lose their mind over the fact that they're going to win a game instead of losing by misadventure. Take a look at the way Philadelphia rioted a couple of weeks ago and the way that local law enforcement had to put Crisco on the light poles. We don't do that anymore. We're not motivated to riot. It's
lost its luster.
It's become as much a part of the passing of the seasons as autumn leaves around here, is what I'm saying. So if you're having a little trouble getting worked up about this, and I mean, it's good. It's great. It's the Patriots again. I'm one of the few Boston Patriots fans who can honestly admit that this is getting tired.
Mm. Well, that's what the day after the AFC I posted saying, you know, it was really nice. It's really nice that the past couple of years, the Pats have kind of fall us into a sense of insecurity that there's a possibility that they may lose towards the beginning of really important games, because this whole obviously we're going to win thing is getting kind of old.
Yeah.
Tom Brady became quarterback when I was 16 or 17 years old. And since then, it's just been like, yep, we're the best team in the country. And everywhere I go, they're like, of course you're a Pats fan. I'm like, why of course? And they're like, because how could you not be a Pats fan?
It's 16 years of winning. Everyone else in the country hates us because it's 16 years of winning.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand. But if you're looking for some reasons to get excited, other than you have wagered on the game, which is
a good reason to get excited.
It's the old tried and true method of maintaining excitement in sports is wagering. We don't recommend that, but it is effective. Here are some things to root for in Sunday's game that may keep it interesting for you. If Tom Brady passes for another 279 yards, he will become the first player in NFL history to pass for 10,000 yards in the postseason.
Jesus Christo.
He already holds the record for most passing yards by a big margin, but 10,000 is one of those milestones. If the Patriots win, they will join the Pittsburgh Steelers as the only teams to win the Super Bowl 6 times. The Patriots already hold the record for the most Super Bowl appearances at 9. Some of you may remember the Bears Shufflin crew from about 33 years ago.
Oh, you mean when I was still an egg in my mother's ovary? No, I don't
we
quite
are
recall
the
that.
Shufflin crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. Yeah, we got our butts kicked by them.
The Bears.
Bill Belichick will join George Halas and Curly Lambeau as the only coaches to win 6 championships. And George Halas and Curly Lambeau won some of those before the merger. Some of that's old-time football.
I was going to say, so some of that is George, like, yeah, it counts, but...
Yeah, some of that's old-time football, but it's still it's hard to win games back then, too.
Speaking of which, we didn't talk about this last week. When they won the AFC, Bill Belichick smiled.
Yes.
Like, not just like a slight pleased smirk. You could see teeth. It was terrifying.
Yeah, you know why? Because he beat Tom Coughlin. That's what it was. He finally beat Tom Coughlin.
Well, it was so funny because I had just referenced, I was bartending that day, and I just referenced somebody like, have you ever seen that episode of Family Guy? Have you seen this episode where Peter's mad that the Patriots keep losing? And he's like, why is God doing this?
Yes.
And God's like, I have given them so many championships. I gave them Tom Brady, and that man cannot smile. You make him smile, I'll let them win again. And then Peter spends the whole episode trying to get Bill Belichick to smile. But it's funny because like I remember watching that, and I'm like, it's funny because it's true. And I went through all these different pictures. I looked through tons of pictures and videos and interviews of Bill Belichick, and he did not smile. And I'm telling someone about this, and then 15 minutes later, they win, and Bill Belichick's smiling. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the T-shirt by now, The Many Moods of Bill Belichick, which is just,
it's just him.
Nine identical pictures of a stone-faced
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Like, happy, sad, you know, worried.
Excited, worried.
Yeah. All written underneath. Now, those are things that happen if they win. If they lose, they get a record. They will tie the Denver Broncos for the most Super Bowl losses.
Oh.
So no matter what happens on Sunday,
a record's being set.
The Patriots get a record.
I kind of like the first ones better than the second one.
I don't blame everyone else in America for hating us and hating our football team. I don't.
I was gonna say, well, that's last year you were saying the thing about rioting. I didn't technically riot last year, but I think all of us remember how the Super Bowl went last year. It was rough going for those first three quarters, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we do rule. But it was great because I was in Portland, Oregon, watching it with my cousin, who was the only other Pats fan I knew on the West Coast. And his wife is from Chicago, so she doesn't actually have like a vested interest in hating the Pats, other than that, like you said, everyone hates the Pats. And she keeps checking in and is like, I'm going to laugh so hard when the two of you are all sad and crying at the end of tonight. And then me and him, when we won, just ran around their house screaming for like 20 minutes.
Patriots fans, if they somehow lose on Sunday night, don't cry. Don't be upset about it. Just go home, get some sleep, forget about the football season. It's not like this is going to be the end of the world for us, and it's going to be 20 years before we get another shot at a championship. They'll be back in the Super Bowl next year. Now, the one thing that you
and the Sox start in 4 months.
The one thing that you can really sort of get excited about is if they win this one, and if they win another one, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are legends of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you now have 7 championships.
I would say, I mean,
no one's ever going to do that again.
They are, but then they will just be like, you might as well dip them in gold so that you can make perfect statues of them that we can all worship.
That we won't have to listen to all those yinzers from down in Pittsburgh talking about, we're Sixburg. And it's like, yeah, you know what? We got 7 of them. Take a hike, yinzer.
Also, your city sucks. In entertainment news, the radio, this is a very... what's the word? Relevant interest to you and I, Derek. The radio DJ accused of groping Taylor Swift is back on the airwaves after being hired by a Mississippi radio station. David Mueller started his gig with Delta Radio on Monday with the first airing of the Jackson and John Bob morning show. As first reported by the New York Daily News, Mueller's new show is his first foray back into radio. Since he was fired from Denver radio station KYGO in 2013 after being accused of grabbing Taylor Swift's rear end, as it's worded. Delta Radio CEO and President Larry Fust told NBC News that he hired Mueller because of his experience in Denver, completely disregarding the case that Swift brought against him. He said he wasn't worried about the backlash from the civil lawsuits exchanged between both Mueller and Swift over the alleged grabbing. Last August, a jury inevitably sided with Swift for the symbolic $1 settlement. Mueller has maintained he never inappropriately touched Swift, and Swift's fans were quick to express their outrage at his being rehired. On Twitter, dozens of angry fans have tweeted their anger about Fuss's decision to hire Mueller, with many tweeting they contacted Fuss directly to express their frustration and even shared Fuss's phone number, urging others to call and air their grievances.
I don't think that's going to work.
I don't either.
I don't think either. Where is he back on the air?
He's back on. That's the thing, is he's back on the air, and even.
No, where?
Mississippi.
That's not going to work. It's Mississippi.
Him performing there, you mean?
I got news
for him being on the radio.
I got news for you, Swifties. It's Mississippi. They don't care.
Yeah, they literally don't care. And it's, well, and even Fuss, I read further into this because, like I said, like, I mean, I'm interested in it. And it is, as much as I'm not taking this dude's side or Taylor Swift's side, I think that this was her. Even regardless of if it did or did not happen, it was her hopping on the Me Too campaign and trying to,
well before all of that.
Well,
I'm Taylor.
I'm not saying, I don't mean the Me Too campaign in the actual of the hashtag, but the Me Too campaign has become kind of a symbol for all of this of us coming forward with men mistreating us.
Yeah.
And, I think that what I'm taking away from this the most, and don't get me wrong, if he did grab Taylor Swift's butt, that's not cool.
No.
But at the same time, if you look at it objectively as a person in the entertainment industry, it is kind of a, it's like, okay, well, even if something takes your career on a nosedive, it's still possible for you to pull yourself back up. And mind you, a Mississippi radio station is obviously not as big a an audience as one out of Denver, perhaps. But even that's the thing, and I read a lot of the statements that Larry Fuss made, and he said, you know, this is a rare opportunity where we can get somebody who's from a major market and really knows what he's doing and has a bunch of experience for our tiny little radio station.
Yeah. Even odds, he's the only one that would take the job. And if Mr. Fuss wants to get in contact with Shay and I, we will gladly come down be on your radio station.
It's shayspillane@gmail.com.
Yeah.
if you want people, hey, I'll move to Mississippi. I bet you guys have
good
barbecue.
Wait, that's where I'm going to draw the line. All right. We will do the broadcast from outside of the state lines is the one.
I say, how about we move to Tennessee so we're still like driving distance?
Yeah. Brian Joyce is down there and that will get
ugly. Well, we can crash at his house.
No, that'll get
ugly. Brian, we can crash at your house, right?
No, Brian is so not going to let us crash at his house. So not going to let that happen.
It's worth a shot.
Brian's actually working on a podcast and sent me some questions about naming the podcast. So keep an eye out for the Brian Joyce podcast. When I hear more about that, I will let you know. Because even though he just sort of abandoned us here, we still love him. And he didn't abandon us either. He got a great opportunity and he's doing well.
And made it possible for me to be on this show. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with that.
And,
not that I didn't love coming in to play with the two of you, but I like being Brian better than being the random person talking to you.
Well, you like being Brian better than you like trying to get in between Brian and I.
Yes.
Which got to be impossible for everybody after a certain point.
Yes, this is true.
You know, because he's so strident and so occasionally dumb.
He is still doing radio though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, he's the podcast is just an extra
The podcast project. Is an outgrowth of his show.
Okay.
So you'll be able to get Brian Joyce coast to coast now.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
I was gonna say, we love the Brian.
Yeah. I say mean things in the kindest possible way.
You say mean things the way a brother would say them about their brother.
Yeah, I'm proud of Brian. He does.
Yes, hi, Danny. I don't know if you're listening.
He does a good job down there, and you should check him out. Technology news. Apple is in the crosshairs of federal investigators over a December software update that slowed performance on older models of its iPhone. The Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission have both opened investigations into whether Apple violated securities laws by misleading investors about the performance of older iPhone models. The update, designed to stop older iPhones from shutting off randomly due to high battery use, was met with scorn by customers who accused the company of deliberately damaging their devices to encourage them to buy new ones. The investigations are in their earliest stages and may not result in any findings of wrongdoing by Apple. So you're one of these consumers who got burned. No, this has nothing to do with you. You get nothing. You get nothing except the realization that you should have bought a Samsung. This is securities fraud that we're talking about.
Yeah, this is on the higher level. This isn't consumers. This is investors, meaning like you invested in an iPhone. This is investors meaning like you have $1 million in Apple stock.
This is the federal government saying, did Apple make public statements about the future value of its telephone business that caused investors to buy Apple stock when Apple knew that those statements were not true and that the value of those shares would go down in the future because those phones would become a problem? That's the nut.
It's like the definition of fraud.
That's it. Well, the key to the whole thing, and one of these, I don't know if it's justice or securities, but one of them has said, we are reviewing public statements made by Apple. And as someone who used to be in the investment world, I know exactly what that means. You're going over every news article, you're going over emails and investor communications and things like that, trying to determine whether or not Apple senior executives lied to potential investors about future business and future profit growth. Difficult to prove, because you would have to establish that the people making those statements knew that there was a fundamental flaw with those iPhones that would cause them to shut off when the battery got overloaded, and that the solution to that would be a software update that would slow those phones down so much that it made them practically unusable.
Well, and even, I would say,
it's going to be a tough case to prove.
But even, I mean, honestly, the thing that would prove it really well is just consumer testimony. Because even, I was just talking to somebody about this 2 days ago.
Doesn't matter. Consumer testimony doesn't matter. What you need is you need an engineer somewhere saying, these phones are going to die in 2 years. And you need to prove that a senior executive knew about that memo.
Had
received that memo, and still went out and said, hey, people are going to love the iPhone 4 for the next 20 years. That's kind of what they're looking for.
Well, it is. But the thing that drives you crazy about this is, like, it's absolutely true. I've had my current phone for about a year. I was just talking to somebody about this, about maybe in the last 4 months or so, it will be well above 20%. It will be at like 38%. I'll be about to plug it in and it will just die.
Yeah.
And like, every other iPhone I had, you know, I had the original iPhone, I had the 2, the 3, the 4S. This that I have now is, I believe, the 5S. And every other one I had, it's like, it would have to get to 1% to die. This, I've never even let this get below maybe 12% in the past.
There's a reason why it's doing that, and it's because the battery has developed a memory. And this is something that's been known about rechargeable batteries for a long time. If you only let them get down to halfway and recharge them all the time, like, the lower end of the battery just sort of dies. The chemical,
it just can't do it anymore.
Right, because it's not being used and recharged.
Because I'm being more responsible and not letting my phone get down to 1%, it won't let me let it get down to 1%.
You want to let that phone die like once a month.
See, Dad, you told me to be more responsible about charging my phone, and now I've screwed up my phone by charging it more.
Yeah.
See, sometimes I am right for just letting things coast.
Yeah. Batteries aren't supposed to do that anymore, by the way, but they do. And they'll tell you up and down that batteries don't do that anymore, but they do. So keep that in mind. Yeah, if you're one of these people that habitually, like, recharges the phone when it gets down to 60%, let it go down. Let it run down to 20. Let it run down to 10.
I never knew that. Well, especially, like, because of my father's urging, like, for years, being like, why do you let your phone get down that far? I have started instinctually, like, if I'm at my house, I plug it in. If I'm in my car, I keep it plugged in. If I, like, it's very rare. The only time it ever gets to the 20%, like, low battery warning is if I'm watching something on it and lose track of time.
Yeah. This was something.
Saboteur.
This was something that videographers and filmmakers learned back in the 70s and the 80s when everything was run on big rechargeable lithium batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Having that battery power was essential, because without the power, you get no picture. And they discovered very quickly that those batteries developed the memory because everyone was trying to keep them charged all the time. And what they discovered was that you'd use the battery. It should have been a 30-minute battery. You'd use it for 15 minutes, and then, boom, it'd die. And they'd be like, what? And
you'd how? Why?
And the same thing would happen over and over again because there's a chemical reaction in batteries that makes the energy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't stimulate it in certain battery formulations, it just stops happening. You can't charge it. It won't generate any power. The rest of the battery is still good, but it now only has half of its usable life. So the rule was always run the batteries to zero. Run the batteries to the point where you've got that blinking indicator
going. Yeah,
being
like, I'm going to die.
And then put a new battery in. Yeah.
Well, shucks.
Yeah, sorry that you learned that way.
Did I learn that after my phone just started spontaneously dying at 37%?
Because it's an iPhone, right?
Of course. I'm holding it right now.
Yeah, not like you can change the batteries in those, kids. Yeah.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your boss in 5-day forecast. Cloudy tonight. Lows in the mid-20s. Chance for some flurries, particularly north and west of the city. Might see a coating of snow, but not too much in around Boston itself. Tomorrow warms up into the mid-40s under mostly cloudy skies. Might be some rain showers around late afternoon, early evening. Watch for those to turn to snow. And potentially some wet snow with an accumulation up to an inch as temperatures drop below freezing tomorrow night. Friday, partly cloudy, windy day, highs around freezing. And then the cold settles in for one more night. Temperatures down into the teens and lower Friday night.
Ay, ay, ay.
Saturday, going to be chilly. High about 30 degrees, but lows in the mid-20s on Saturday night. And then Sunday warms up a bit. Afternoon rain, high around 41 degrees. Lows in the mid-30s Sunday night. So a little warm, a little cold.
I say, so it's going to be like not winter and then totally winter and then sort of winter.
Yeah, it's not total winter blowout right now, which at this time of year is a good thing because as those who have lived in Massachusetts for a long time know, we've really only got about another 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks of potentially really, really bad stuff.
Knock on wood.
Before the big winter threat goes away.
You're talking to a girl who was in fifth grade with Japanese exchange students when we get that super fun blizzard on April Fool's Day.
I remember that.
So, yeah, normally I love snow, and even more so, I loved school being canceled.
I took the day off from work.
But it came, like I said, we had Japanese exchange students. We were doing a play with them that, like, they had practiced it in Japan, we had practiced it in America, and we were coming together to do it together. And we had all of these events planned surrounding this and all of them. We ended up, I think, it was supposed to be like 4 days of events. On the last day when they finally cleared the roads a little bit, we got to keep one of the performances we were supposed to do. But in the meantime, we were just snowed in a house with two people who barely spoke English and didn't really know what to do with them. We were like, we could do what we usually do and make hot cocoa and watch TV, but like watch movies. But oh, right, they don't speak English. Do movies have? Oh, no, it's 1995, so movies do not have subtitles yet. You can't.
But didn't you have Nintendo? Everybody loves Nintendo.
That's what we ended up doing.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
we end up playing video games. I'm like, because it was my brother's idea. He was like, hey, my Sega was made in Japan. I bet they have this. They know how to do it.
Yeah.
So we played Sonic the Hedgehog for, I don't know, 6 hours straight.
Oh, they totally knew how to do Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah. She whipped my butt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They know the Sonic, and you don't need any language skills to do that. It is WMFL Medford.
It is indeed.
I'm supposed to say that. 855-915-9636. That is the telephone number. On the Tell Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
If you're an economy-minded cook, your knife can be one of your best friends. By learning to use your knife wisely, you can get more value for your food dollar. You can buy a pork rib roast, for example, and cut the meat away from the bone. Then you'll have an elegant boneless pork roast, and there'll still be plenty of meat on the bones to barbecue like spare ribs. This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call and pipe in, you can do so at 855-915-WMFO. And now for one of our favorite parts of the program, Did You Hear?, where we quiz each other on the various news events from the last week. And I'm going to start us off here with Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. There is a movie coming out about Mr. Rogers. And, oh my gosh, I just saw this yesterday.
I'm very excited.
Tom Hanks is going to play Mr.
Tom
Rogers.
Tom Hanks is going to play Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite American icons playing one of my favorite American icons. I'm so excited.
Are we going to learn about the dark, seamy underbelly of Mr. Rogers in this whole thing? Or is he going to be stranded on an island with a volleyball?
Well, that's the thing. There isn't one. If anything, he rescued someone else from their own dark, seedy underbelly. Because the film is inspired by a real-life friendship between Fred Rogers, who is, of course, Mr. Rogers, and award-winning journalist Tom Junod. And in the story, a cynical journalist begrudgingly accepts an assignment to write a profile piece on Mr. Rogers and ends up finding his perspective on life transformed by the incredibly positive influence that Fred Rogers had on him. It's my heart. I'm picturing, like, if you hold crayons over a lighter, that's what my heart is going to do watching this movie.
I gotta believe.
And not just because it's Tom Hanks playing him, who I think, I mean, talk about, there wasn't even a list. I guarantee you. They were trying to think of who to play Mr. Rogers, and we're just like, we got to get Tom Hanks. Let's throw like millions of dollars at this dude.
I got to believe that if you got Tom Hanks in this, there is going to be a scene somewhere where Mr. Rogers completely loses his mind and just starts smashing stuff up.
Or at least makes that very traditional Tom Hanks finds a way to fit it into every movie Tom Hanks face where he just looks... Oh, right, we're on the radio, you can't see me. Where he rolls his eyes and just looks very befuddled.
He's screaming at everybody, he's ripping his sweater off, he's knocking over Mr. Owl's tree.
I was gonna say, I mean, they have to embellish literal. The whole movie is just going to be like, hello, neighbor. Like it.
Punching holes in the castle. I need that scene. I need that scene to justify
setting
that
the
movie.
King on, setting the king made of felt on fire.
Yes. A speedy delivery man is running for his life. You know, I need that scene.
I mean, that should just be, that would actually make a really good sketch. Like, if, I don't know if you've ever seen, I forget what band it is, but the lead singer made this kind of parody sketch series on YouTube. I don't even know. It's called Drivers, but it's supposed to be a spoof on Uber. And he had Macaulay Culkin be in the first one. And he ends up describing his life as though he was Kevin McAllister, but like Kevin McAllister all grown up. He's like, my mom left me home on Christmas, brought my jerk brother when I was like, I was the cutest 8-year-old ever. Like, it's like, I think that would be a funny, like, Mr. Rogers freaking out. That would be a very good spoof.
I just want to see him go wild and smash things.
I mean, there's even that guy, obviously, Mr. Rogers was perhaps the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Not subdued, but docile, I guess, just the most calmly temperamented man. But everyone snaps every once in a while, you know? Like, I mean, Like, my mom is, like, the calmest, chillest person I know, but I've definitely seen her flip her word I can't say on the radio before. And it's actually that much more satisfying, because I'm like, good, get it out. Like, I scream, like, 3 times a week. How do you only do this once every 4 years?
Do you ever feel like going into a blind rage? We all do sometimes. It's okay. Give in to your feelings. Kill the demon horse.
I'll still lend you some sugar for your pie, neighbor.
Yeah. A lot of local stuff this week. I could almost do all of this with local stuff if I wanted to. Keurig Green Mountain.
I don't know.
Plans to buy Dr. Pepper Snapple.
What?
For $18.7 billion, which will bring your favorite hot and cold beverages together at last. This is the plan. We're going to create the third largest beverage company behind Coca-Cola and Pepsi in the United States by meeting all of your hot and cold beverage needs throughout the day.
I mean, honestly, it does make sense. It's the, like, anti-soda.
Yeah.
It's like the things that soda provides without being soda.
Yeah, they're
just like caffeination, refreshment.
They're getting like Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, Sunkist, Snapple, Nantucket Nectars. So like an entire like segment of beverages.
I didn't even know. That's what's weird. I didn't know that I always thought Dr. Pepper was owned by Coca-Cola.
No, they're their own. They've always been their own. Coca-Cola doesn't want anything to do with
that. That's why it's so hard to find.
Yeah. It's because Coca-Cola has driven it off the shelves.
I like Dr. Pepper so much. Dr. Pepper, I will say, is the Diet Dr. Pepper is the only diet soda that actually genuinely tastes like or at least tastes close to the non-diet alternative.
The Little Sweet commercials were the only tolerable commercials during the NFL playoffs this year. And I give Dr. Pepper credit just for coming up with that. I love me some Little Sweet.
Little Sweet. Quicksilver.
Quicksilver. It's specific enough that I can't ask you for another word, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Search operations resumed today after an empty boat belonging to the CEO of surfwear brand Quicksilver washed ashore off the coast of southwestern France.
Ooh.
Pierre Agnes, 54, a father of three, was reported missing yesterday after his beloved vessel, Mascarat III, was found on an Atlantic beach in, I cannot pronounce French words, Hossegor, so please, anyone who speaks French that's listening to this, don't hold it against me. Near his hometown of Capreton, which is about 20 miles north of Biarritz. I'm just going to pronounce it the Italian way, it's fine. Agnes hasn't been seen since going on what is apparently a regular run-of-the-mill morning fishing expedition for him. And authorities in the area, which is popular with surfers, said search efforts resumed early today after being paused overnight. Quicksilver was founded in Australia, but is now part of Board Riders, a California-based apparel group. Agnes served as head of Quicksilver's France-based European headquarters before taking charge of the entire company in 2015. This one hit close to home for me, if only because I am not, nor have I ever been, a skater, a surfer, and fill in the blanker of any of those extreme sports, but I've always been a giant poser and lover of boys that do them.
Mm.
So I had a good, like, 5-year span of my teen and early 20 years where I exclusively wore Roxy by Quicksilver clothes. Did I have a bright pink pair of board shorts? You bet I did. But this dude is really cool, and, like, I'd known who he was beforehand, and, like, before any of this. And the fact that, you know, you wouldn't really think of the person at the France headquarters of the company when it was founded in Australia with ties in California, two of the biggest surfing capitals of the world, it's pure badass that he ended up becoming the CEO. And it's always interesting when you hear of someone who does something so regularly. Like, that's what's very off-putting about this. It'd be one thing if he, like, it was his first time taking a boat out. He apparently goes on these fishing trips like maybe 4 or 5 days a week. Like, he's a fisher. He likes to fish. He leaves at dawn every morning almost. Like, and it's very, I'm intrigued to see. I mean, at this point, once, you know what they say, once someone's missing for 48 hours, you're looking for a body at that point.
Could have had a heart attack while he was out there.
Yeah, and fallen off the boat, he could have.
But
the fact that it is very eerie that the boat itself washed ashore. Like, that is like something out of a movie.
Here's the thing. As a now regular reader of the Crazy Days and Nights blog, anytime I hear one of these things, my first assumption now is that some Hollywood mogul who did not want their predilection for children revealed has bumped this person off. Because this is the kind of guy that would have run in those circles.
That is true. I was going to say, absolutely. Like, this could very much be a sabotage situation.
And there was that billionaire couple up in Toronto that they said was suicide. They've now come out and said, no, they were murdered. What's his face from Glee?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
The guy who was Lea Michele's boyfriend.
Yeah, child porn guy. There are now allegations that he was knocked off because he was going to name names as part of his plea agreement. And he was 4 days away from doing that. So, you know.
Well, it's just like, did you ever see that like super raunchy movie from the late 90s? I'm making lots of movie references tonight. I don't know. I'm on a movie kick. But the movie where they have Denise Richards and Neve Campbell have a threesome with, what's his name?
Oh, Wild Hearts, right?
Wild Things.
Wild Things.
Wild Things.
Yeah.
Well, that's, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I mean, the movie's 20 years old. You can't hate me for spoiling the ending. But that's how she ends up getting rid of, like, it's all like this crazy plot where you think that I can't remember the actor's name, but the main dude, you think he's in charge of everything, and then it turns out Neve Campbell is, and she ends up knocking him off a boat.
Yeah.
But that is, it really is the best, because where's a security camera? Where's any trace of evidence, especially given the what an ocean does to a body. Like, that's why, fun fact for those of you who don't know, Irish knit sweaters, the reason those exist and the reason there's all these different patterns is that traditionally each family in Ireland, because, you know, there used to be, I don't know, like 30 last names in Ireland, each family has its own specific knit, and so many Irishmen were fishermen that they'd go off to sea. If they didn't come back, you assume they drowned, and eventually, because of the current, their body would wash up on shore, but the Atlantic Ocean would tear it up so much, the only identifying factor would be the sweater they were wearing, because the knit was so tight and thick.
Hmm.
So you would look at the knit and say, oh, he's a Splann, or oh, he's an O'Rourke, or oh. And that's why, I mean, hey guys, if you want to off somebody, doing it at sea, it's the way to do it.
Then the Vikings showed up and made Ireland interesting. Team Vikings.
Hey!
Don't knock my Norse ancestors.
Don't knock my Irish ones.
Hawaii.
Hawaii is a wonderful place. It is extremely expensive to get to.
This has been all over the news for the last 2 days.
How do I not know then? I've been reading the news for the past 3 days.
I don't know how you missed this one.
I know. I've been like scouring all day.
This is a big one.
Oh, the thing with the missile.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. There was a false, I can't believe it just slipped out. I think because I've been reading the news so much today, that one slipped out of my head. But there was like a false, it was like a tweet or something. There was a false tweet saying that there was a ballistic missile headed for Hawaii. And then it was like, ah, just kidding. We just set off the alarm by mistake.
Well, that's what they thought, or that's what they told us. As it turns out, no, the tweet that was sent out was not accidental at all. The employee.
Well, snap.
The civil service employee who sent out the tweet legitimately believed that a nuclear missile was on its way to Hawaii because he was confused by a drill that was taking place. So they're having a drill to simulate a nuclear attack on Hawaii. And a message goes out saying, exercise, exercise, at the start, nuclear missile inbound, this is not a drill. The employee apparently did not know what exercise means and just saw the part that said, this is not a drill, and sent out the nuclear bomb tweet.
I'm saying exercise essentially means this is not, or this is just a test, right?
That employee has been fired.
I'd hope so.
And the head of the emergency management services in Hawaii has stepped down from his job. Maybe now they can hire some competent people. To
hey,
inform
the
public.
I'll come do that in Hawaii.
WMFO Medford.
Okay, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey is joining the World Wrestling Federation. It's World Wrestling Entertainment
now,
isn't it?
It's now World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, it's still WWF to me.